Welcome to Mill Creek Church in Belleville, Texas, where our worship service is in progress. Today, Pastor Monty Bird continues with his sermon series on the book of Romans. And now, Pastor Bird.
Join me in prayer, please. Father, as we begin a new year, I just pray that you would forgive us where we have taken you for granted in the past year. I pray, Lord, that we will take today and commit ourselves to you in this upcoming year, that we would renew our commitment to you, that we would have a thirst for your word this year, that we would be committed to the ministry of your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that we would walk with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ this year. Please open up our hearts and minds to your wonderful word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In a recent USA Today article, it was noted that COVID caused a mental health crisis that will create long-lasting effects among the population. And in fact, the article reads, the COVID-19 pandemic triggered a mental health crisis that experts say the U.S. may have to battle for years to come, as Americans lost their loved ones, their jobs, and their health to COVID-19. Various reports showed a steady rise in anxiety, depression, and substance use disorders. And as I read that, it got me thinking, because I believe that the reason why we have seen a rise of anxiety and depression and substance abuse is that this is the first time in generations that society's paradigms were challenged. If you think about it, COVID is the first incident that we have had since World War II where we knew collectively where people had been sick all at once or died all at once. We all went home at the same time. We knew people that lost their jobs. We knew people that were afflicted. We walked together in that as a nation. And society's paradigm was challenged. And what do I mean by that? Humanity has taught society that man is in control. And because of that, there's these paradigms or views that society agrees in collectively. That humanity is in control of their own destiny. For example, we're told collectively that if you eat right and you exercise, that you are guaranteed to live to a ripe old age. We're told if you work hard and you do right at work, you'll keep your job. In addition, we live in a humanistic society that doesn't believe in the hereafter, so everything is carpe diem. Seize the day. That you should live for the moment. We even live in a society that believes that if we were all driving electric cars and doing other things, that we could actually even control the weather. Society believes that man is in control. And my argument is that COVID was a direct confrontation to the paradigm beliefs of society. You're not in control of your own health, regardless of the precautions that you take. You can lose your job with things that are beyond your control. We've learned that the pleasures of life aren't guaranteed. They're not at one's fingertips in demand. And this has caused a great angst among the nation. However, for those who follow Christ, the real truth has been revealed to us, and we should have a different world view than the rest of society. Because we have been given the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us, and we can read the Word of God, and we can understand it, and we can even understand why the rest of the world, apart from Christ, doesn't believe the way that we do. And as I thought about people under great stress because they can't live their life the way that they would normally live it, it made me think of King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. So turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. This is Solomon writing. He said, "I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely, this also was vanity. And I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built my houses and planted vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all those who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired males and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind, for there was no profit under the sun." And as our society is challenged with the paradigm that the pursuit of pleasure will give one's happiness, here we have in the Bible the truth that is centuries old, that Solomon had already tried all of these things, and to an extent that you and I don't have the resources to try them. And what did he say? He said, it's grasping for the wind. In fact, if you look at Ecclesiastes, that's a phrase that Solomon uses over and over and over again. Grasping for the wind. You can't grab hold of it, can you? Can't tie it down. You can't pin it. And society finds itself struggling with what's the meaning and purpose of life. And we have the ability to understand their stress because we have the example of Solomon, who's tried it all and found nothing good in it. We also have the words of Jesus Christ Himself in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Turn with me there. Luke 12, 13. It reads, "Then one from the crowd said to Him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have had many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and body is more than clothing." Should we be surprised that the world apart from Christ finds itself at this very moment grasping for what is the meaning and purpose of their life when they have spent the entirety of their life in the pursuit of either possessions or pleasure? Because what they're encountering is that you are not in control. You're not in control. Whatever you think about COVID, the one thing that COVID has done has told society, you are not in control. And it's actually made people very angry. You just have to watch the YouTube this last week of a woman going ballistic on an airplane and assaulting an 80-year-old man. She's clearly angry because this person, doing what they're supposed to, took their mask off while they were eating a meal, and the poor guy gets slapped and scratched while sitting on an airplane. They're angry. Now, you could say people are angry because of a disease, or angry because they've got to wear a mask, or angry for whatever the things are that surround COVID. COVID is a symptom. It is a symptom of a society that is going bankrupt at a rapid pace. Our society is falling apart and it's angry. Back to Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, as Solomon talked about the rich man in verse 16 and 17, he said, "And this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger." In anger. Here we are, we're the most wealthy country that the world has ever seen, and society is angry. It's angry because their paradigm and their truth has been challenged. But as believers, we have the truth. We have the truth. Which leads us to our focal verse, Romans 8. As we continue our study of Romans 8, 28 through 30. And I want you to think about 28 through 30. And we're going to talk about the heavenly chain here in a moment, which is what we've been studying in verse 30. But I want to look at this collectively in all of these verses together in light of what I had just laid out with the societal stress that we see today in our time. And as we think about the rest of the world struggling with purpose and meaning and their paradigm being challenged and them trying to figure out what's going on in life. Another thing that I could bring into this is that companies are experiencing record quit rates. People are just quitting. They're walking away from their job. They're just quitting. Even without another job lined up, they just walk away. They're not doing that in an isolated instance. They're doing that because they're being challenged with all of their beliefs. But as a Christian, what do we have to lay hold of? Look at verse 28 of Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good. Let's think about that just for a moment. In all of the craziness that we have experienced over the last 2 years, you and I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, can rest in the centrality of that truth that all things, good and bad, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. And in verse 30, we see that heavenly chain. And if you think about the heavenly chain, if you recall, I've also referred to it as the story of our salvation. Because it is. God uses all things to accomplish His purpose, both collectively in society and individually as believers. He uses all things. And our salvation story, which is found in the heavenly chain, is rich. It's no accident that we find ourselves in this very time. God is alive and at work in every single event that is on the surface of the earth. He's alive. He's at work. And He has a purpose. And as a believer, we can say our life has a purpose and a meaning, and it also has an ending. And that ending is that we are glorified. We talked about predestination. We talked about justification. Now we're at that glorification, which is at the end of the story, that God chose us. He applied the righteousness of Christ to us. He moves us along in holiness until one day we stand before Him in our glorified state. It's the beautiful story of salvation. And as a believer in the sovereignty of God, in His providential care, you and I as a believer can rest in the power of God. He is at work at this very moment. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's always in control. And you and I can have that confidence that no matter how bad things get in society, we can rest that God is at work and He has a purpose. Look at verse 28 again. All things in verse 28. You see at the end of 28, His purpose. In other words, God uses all events. He uses all people to accomplish His purpose. We're going to get to that in more detail in Romans 9. But I want to read it because I think it's appropriate for today's sermon. Romans 9:14, it says, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For He says to Moses, 'I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion.' So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the Scripture says to the Pharaoh, For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and on whom he wills he hardens. God's in control. God picks, and God moves us along in that wonderful story. And he uses all people in all events. Think about it this way. There would not have been an Exodus unless there had been a Pharaoh. Think about that. There would not have been an Exodus had there not been a Pharaoh. There had to be a Judas. When you think about the prophecy of the first advent of Christ, and you think about all the prophecy that dealt with his crucifixion, I'll give you an example. Chapter of the suffering servant, Isaiah 53. They cast lots for his clothes. That's what it said in prophecy. Well, if you cast lots for the clothes, there had to be Roman soldiers. God uses all people, all events to accomplish his purpose. And there's a beautiful story to that. And he uses good people, and he uses bad people, and he uses good events, and he uses bad events. God's in control. The rest of the world thinks that they're in control. If you don't have Christ, you think that you are in control. As a believer, we believe that God is in control. And that God has a purpose. And He's in control of all events. I get a great comfort when I look at First Advent prophecy and its fulfillment. To know that centuries before Christ appeared upon the scene, that God, working through prophets, said, this is what is going to happen. And then it did. See, God controls events, people, and time. He controls. There's no accident. And I think one of the big mistakes that Christians make is when confronted with a stressful situation, there's a tendency within the Christian church in general is for us to form a holy huddle and talk about how bad things are. Do you think God allows one bad thing, that something bad happens that God doesn't allow? That's not true. He allows and works through all things. And as a believer, we look at Romans 8:28 and we can say, all things work together for good. And the environment that we find ourselves living in, while we don't understand why society is living this way, the one thing that I can be confident on is when I stand before Him in glory, face to face, I will be able to look back through the halls of time and I will see and you will see with perfect clarity it was all for His glory. I can rest in that. You can rest in that as we start a new year. In a year that, quite frankly, last year made no sense, right? I've heard so many people say, man, I'm glad 21's done. Well, the environment for 22 looks just the same as 21. But I know God's at work. I know that He's in control. I know that He controls the hearts and minds of men because He says that He does. Just as He told Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you. He's in absolute control. And we can rest in that. I know I've referenced Ephesians 1 a lot over the last several Sundays, but I want to look there one more time. Ephesians 1, join me in starting in verse 7. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined. And here's the thing I wanted to point out here. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works, what? All things. Who works all things according to the counsel of His will. He works all things according to the counsel of His will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of what? His glory. And that's the beautiful picture of salvation. How before time began, He wrote every believer's name in the Lamb's Book of Life as a record to illustrate His power, to say, these are the people that I will redeem. And as I pointed out last Sunday, when you think about Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, what does He tell the Father? He tells Him, I will lose none that You have given Me. I will lose none that You have given Me. And all throughout the ages, ever since the beginning of time, God has called believers unto Himself, and He uses all events, He uses all people to bring us together. And you go, well, what's the purpose of that? The purpose is for our glorification, which is for His glory. When you really think about that, and you realize that you don't pick God, God picks you. I'm fully confident that when I'm standing before God in heaven and I'm in my glorified state, I will look at the magnificence and the holiness of God. And I will look back and go, despite my sinful self, God chose me and He glorified me for the sole purpose of glorifying Him. He said, here's the name, and I've made it happen. And He's been using events and people all throughout the ages to bring all of those who are in Christ to Him. It's the salvation story. And so as we start a new year, who knows what we have to face? I mean, does anything surprise us at this point? I mean, I used to say, oh, that will never happen. And here in the last 2 years, you look and you think, I can't believe that that happened. I mean, we're living in almost a dystopian world at this particular point in time. Now, we've got a couple of choices. We could go into the holy huddle and look inward and say, my goodness, we've got to protect ourselves. You and I don't need protected because we are being protected by the power of God. So what we should do is, instead of looking inward and instead of having a holy huddle, we should look outward and look at a society that's lost and dying and say, let me tell you about the power of Jesus Christ. Because it's only through that power, it's only through understanding that God's in complete control, that we can have confidence and peace and joy. And it is a message that is sorely needed to a lost and dying world. Join me in prayer, please. Father, I just pray as we approach a new year, I just pray that we might rest in the fact that You are in complete control. No matter how crazy this world may seem, we know that You're using all things. And You're using those things to gather Your children together. And we know, Lord, that one day we'll stand before Your throne and all people from all ages will be gathered around Your throne. And we rest in that fact. And I pray, Lord, that we might rest in that as we approach a new year. But not only, Lord, do I pray that we might rest in it, I also pray, Lord, that we might tell it. That we might tell the wonderful story of salvation that we have to people that we personally know that they do not know you. That they don't know the joy of having you in their life. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us the boldness and the confidence. I pray, Lord, for this church in the upcoming year, that we might stand collectively together and might be known as a church who is bold in their faith. I also pray that if there's someone listening to this message that does not know you, that they may accept the truth of Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us as Pastor Bird continues this sermon series. If you wish to hear more, you may find him at millcreekchurch.org or go to sermonaudio.com/millcreekchurch. Prayer requests may also be left at millcreekchurch.org. Our church services are as follows. Sunday morning Bible study is at 9 a.m., followed by our worship service at 10 a.m. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study, and they are at 6:30 p.m. For more information and our mission statement, please visit our website, millcreekchurch.org.